Blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 387, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. To God, my earnest voice I raise, to God my voice imploring praise. Before his face my grief I show, and tell my trouble and my woe. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of 387.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians in the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your Master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and, having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So far in the reading of God's holy word, let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, once again we are gathered in this afternoon hour, and then it may be once more round about thy holy word and everlasting testimony. We each one in our place in this world going closer and closer to our long home, and to that great judgment seat when we will stand, as we have confessed together, before thee who art coming again to judge the quick and the dead. And we may gather continually about this thy holy word, and that we may receive therein instruction for our poor souls as we travel unto thee. We are born in our ignorance, in the ignorance of our fallen state, and we need then more than to be instructed in our intellect, but we need that thy Spirit would bring it in our hearts. And therefore we begin not only to speak, but first we try to draw nigh to thee, and that thou thyself may speak in the midst of us as a congregation and unto us in a personal way, and that we may not have to miss that instruction that we need applied to our soul, that we receive with our minds, and that will only increase our judgment to all eternity, if that we are not truly regenerated. Lord, we beseech thee then that thou may come unto us and unto our dear children. And when we in a special way have received long life already, and then under the administration of word and sacrament continually, and to be drawing near, as it were, with a foot already in the grave, and so close to that eternity that we will never return from, Lord, could it please thee to remember us when we have become old under thy truth, and when indeed we have hardened our hearts, even into our old age, and when from our side, then it is so impossible to break them, and when in a natural way we become colder the older, Then also in a spiritual way, we also become so. Could it please thee then to show thy might and thy power in the midst of us? Lord, shall it not be to the wonderment of many when thou wilt take one who has grown old and cold under thy truth, and that thou wilt make them as a little child this day, that they may be given to weep as a child, that they may be made as teachable as a child, and that thou may be enabled to lead them by the hand as a child, that thy word may go open. We beseech thee for them whose fears often increase and whose bodily ailments often increase. Wilt thou be near and dear to them for what is natural and for what is spiritual? And do look upon parents also. Lord, help us, for we are foolish in and of ourselves, and we also have hearts that go out after all that is sinful, evil, and carnal, so that we need every moment to be kept and to be taught and instructed by thee, and then to set an example before our children. That thou would take parents and children alike for thy own account, and that thou may remember all of our youth and our children when they may be doing their studies once again, wherever it may be, in home, at school. Lord, that thou may care and give strength for the day. Look upon our youth who will begin in this week in the courses in universities and colleges in the midst of this world. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may go with them, and that thou may be on their right and on their left hand when Satan has so entered into those places that he may appeal unto the intellect, that he may appeal unto the wickedness of our own hearts, that he may appeal unto the rationality of the mind, and that he may attempt to overturn all truth and all faith. Then it is a special strength that is necessary for them as they will go again into these environments. Lord, we beseech thee for them, and that thou may stand on their right and on their left hand, and that thou may grant the true and tender fear of thy name, and that they may not be able to walk along with the ways of sin, and that they may be given to know thy truth within their hearts, and that this may it keep them, and that they may be given to stand also to speak of those things which are true. Lord, that thou may give them to stand against all the wiles of the devil, and that thou may remember all our youth. Also those that go from day to day to their labors in this world, wherein Satan also has his devices. Wilt thou look upon all those who have left thy truth and who have no more desire, who are deceived by all that lures to the vanity of this world, which will eventually be to their utter destruction. Lord, we beseech them this day to draw their hearts to remember those things and that they have been instructed in the days of their youth, and that thou may draw them again, and that they may be brought even as a prodigal son, and that thou mayest gladden parents with thy deeds, and that thou may look upon the little children, when their hearts in a natural way are yet tender,
and that thou may take them, and that thou may lead them into all thy truth, and that thou may put a wall and a fence, all be as a fire, Lord, round about our children and our youth, and that thou may grant us true conversions. Do look upon all that rule and reign over us. O care for those who are set in the high places of this world, and give them an impression of the great judgment where they will also stand, and that they could not go against thy word, and that they could not listen to the voice of the multitude of the people, and that to cry that we may be enabled each one to do that which is right in our own eyes, but that they may be given to faithfully set laws in accordance with thy holy word and law, and that thou may turn us again as nations to thy everlasting word and testimony. Be with that word as it goes over the length and breadth and to the ends of this world. Wilt thou bless it, O Lord, and that thou may bring them in thy church, even from the east and from the west, to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and that thou may look also on us. Oh, we are in the established church, but our guilt that rises as high as the heavens, and our judgment does increase Sabbath by Sabbath day if we continue to refuse. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee, become too strong for us, and wilt thou take us by heart and by hand and lead us into all the blessedness of thy truth and of thy word, and that thy gospel also may become precious to those who are destitute, and to those who are poor and needy, that thou may uplift them with thy mercy, and that thou may feed them, that the meek may eat and be satisfied. Oh, care for us then, in speaking and in listening in thy mercy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 189, stanzas 1. Psalter 355, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall ne'er be overthrown. We announce that the last collection today is for our school. And once again, we ask any that wish to join the confession class, if they will please notify myself by this coming Wednesday evening. Psalter 355, 1, 2, and 3.
Congregation, there are two things which are distinct in themselves and yet are never able to be separated. They are justification and sanctification. The Apostle Paul writes, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The forgiveness of sins is not something, though it is so free, that leads a man to a licentious life, to a sinful life, to an uncaring life. But it leads a man to a desire for holiness. What do we read that the psalmist writes? He says, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee." Is that all, children? Or is there more? Can you finish it for me? "But there is forgiveness with thee." Why? "That thou mayest be feared." Thus, we say that forgiveness or justification that does not lead a man to walk in a wayward, in a sinful life, but it gives to him a desire for holiness. And thus, after that, the Lord Jesus has instructed his disciples to pray for forgiveness, then he gives them further instruction that they may pray that they may be kept from sin. And this we wish in this afternoon hour to consider with you from Lord's Day 52. Only the first question, question 127. Lord's Day 52, question 127. Which is the sixth petition? Answer, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by thy power, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. So far, our Lord's Day, the true church militant's cry for daily help in the warfare. First, why this help is necessary. Second, how this help is attained. Third, how long this help is needed. The church militant's cry for daily help in the warfare. First, why this help is necessary. Second, how this help is attained. Third, how long this help is needed. And lead us not into temptation. That is not a prayer that is asking that the Lord would not lead us to examination, to the trying of faith by Himself. It is in this sense that God Himself indeed tempts or tries His people. Thus, it is possible that this word temptation is used in a positive sense. Thus, we read that the Lord tempted Abraham. This trying, this tempting is a work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord and will be the lot of every single one of that true church of God. Why? Why does the Lord in this sense tempt? Why does the Lord in this sense try His people? That is for His own glory. That is for the honor of His own name. And it is also that they themselves may be purified. And that they may come forth through that trial as gold. We see how that the disciples, they cleave to an earthly kingdom and they cannot understand it any differently. But we can read the prophecy of Zechariah, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." Thus, trial. What was the profit of the trial of Abraham? Was it not the assurance of faith? Does not James say that Abraham was justified by faith? That is, in this sense, that he says that the Lord brought him through that trial and that Abraham may receive assurance himself when he may see all the dealings of the Lord with his own soul and how that the Lord himself may strengthen him under that trial. Is that easy for that church? No, it is impossible. Because they fear that they themselves are going to be revealed as the hypocrite in that trial. And yet they are asking for it. And why are they asking for it? Because the Lord has made them upright. Has the Lord also made us upright? That they say, if now there is hypocrisy in my heart, oh, that I may know this now while I still live. That they say, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my reins. See now if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in that way everlasting. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Lead us not into temptation. No, when the Lord Jesus uses that word temptation, that is in an altogether different sense, is it not? This is not in a positive way, but this is in a negative way. Thus he speaks about the temptation to sin, and that temptation that we would put our hand forth to sin is not that which comes from the Lord. What does James say? Let no man say, when I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This is now the temptation that our instructors are speaking of, because they speak about the mortal enemies of the church of God. A mortal enemy. We can have an enemy and we can have a mortal enemy. And a mortal enemy is looking for what? He is looking for our death. Thus, the mortal enemies of the church of God are looking for their death. They are looking for their complete destruction. And thus, it is a church militant. A church that is fighting. That is fighting for what? That is fighting for their life. Is their life then on the line? Is it possible that they lose their life? Is their life then questionable? Is it perhaps that people will one day sin themselves fall, sin themselves even out of grace itself? No, that is not possible. But that does not mean that they do not often fear for their own life, because they experience the might of that great enemy. And the temptation is a temptation to sin. And they have experienced in their life what? That the wages of sin is death. Our instructors, they speak about three mortal enemies. They are the devil, the world, and our own flesh. And it is against these three mortal enemies, they say, we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand for one moment. Do you believe that? And not only so, but those enemies, they say, they cease not to assault that church. That means that that church always needs to be watching against that enemy. So that it is very often that even before that they are aware that that enemy has entered into a corner, as it were, of their heart, and he has taken a large place in that heart, so that they are brought so close to destruction. Three mortal enemies. And those enemies are what? Those enemies are united. Those enemies are one. Those enemies, they are working together with one purpose for the destruction of that church. The devil, the world, and our own flesh. The flesh of Judas desired the bag. The flesh of Judas desired the riches of this world. And then the devil, he enters. And the world, the Pharisees, oh, they are also so happy. They are also drawing him. And what is it in the end? That he goes and he hangs himself. That is now the work of Satan. That he may unite. That he may unite all of those enemies. The devil, the world, and our own flesh into one. In order that we may be destroyed. But it is not only in a Judas, it is also within that true church of God. Because what is happening every time that the Lord is granting true conversion to a sinner, then hell that is robbed of one of his subjects. And how do we think that Satan is under the robbing of his subjects? Then Satan would want to keep these subjects for himself. And the fury of that prince of darkness that is inflamed by the work of that Spirit of the Lord. So that Satan is coming that he may attempt to make that people to fall. And not only to fall, but that they would even fall away. All there was no doubt in the mind of Satan himself that Job was no longer one of his subjects. No, he is a perfect man. He fears God. He eschews evil. And there is nothing that the prince of darkness can say come against it. And yet, all he desires, and he will attempt to make even Job to fall. And that he will take away his goods, that he will take away his house, that he will take away his own children, and that he will come even through his own wife, that she shall be to her own husband a temptation, that he may curse God and die. No, Satan is not permitted to touch him. But what will Satan do? Satan will work that if it were possible, he may even get Job to destroy himself. He tempts him to curse God. How was that with the flesh of David? See how that the flesh of David that was so united with that purpose of the devil. And when Satan, he is tempting David that he would number the people. You say it is written in God's word that this is also of the Lord. That is true. But we have also read together that the Lord does not tempt man to sin. Yes, it is true. And we have heard it also in this morning, how that the Lord is actively bringing the judgment of man upon him, even to the hardening of his own heart. But to tempt a man, to put it in his heart that he should do something against his law, no, this is not the work of the Lord. Yes, it is true that there is a people that have sinned against the Lord, and that the Lord is going to use that ruler, even his own child, and that he may chastise his own people. And when the anger of the Lord is kindled against his people, yes, it is true. The Lord, he has a purpose in it. But so does Satan. And what is Satan's purpose? Satan would destroy David, and Satan would destroy all the children of Israel. But now the flesh of David, that flesh of David that is so united to the temptation of Satan. When Satan is coming with his suggestions, after the Lord has given the fear of his name in the heart of David from the days of his youth, that he is lifted up in pride and desires to know how great that his kingdom is, and that he is the king over all this great nation. Even Joab. Even Joab sees through it. Even Joab, he despises the pride that is living in the heart of King David. But Satan, he is working together to blind the eyes of God's servant and lead us not into temptation. Temptation itself is not sin. Christ himself was also tempted. But our hearts, they are inclined to that temptation. And it is now that inclination that is living in our heart toward that temptation, which is already sin in us. That there is some sweetness in it.
that our heart is drawn to it, that is already evil. What sweetness, congregation, is there to us in dead and rotting flesh? No, when we have ever seen it, when we have ever smelt it, and then our whole nature that is repulsed by dead and rotting flesh, then they can be our very most beloved ones our whole life. But it was necessary that Abraham also is putting his dead out of his sight, because our very nature is being repulsed by this. So was the temptation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, his entire blessed being, a soul and body that is repulsed by the thought and the temptation to sin. But so it is not with you and me. No, there is something in that evil that our heart that is inclined unto. There is a sweetness in it to us. And then even if we are helped, and even if the Lord is strengthening us that we would overcome that temptation, and that we would not fall into that sin, still, then we cannot leave that place without fault, because our heart, and that is inclined, oh, that enemy, he is so strong. And that flesh of you and I that is so very depraved. The world that is so very, very wicked, and we are so very, very weak. We are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us. And therefore Christ says, when ye pray, say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our second thought, how does the Lord do so? Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes. The church that is not promised a life that is free from temptation. They are not promised that they will be delivered from the temptation itself. No, the Lord Jesus, he says that he shall provide that church with everything that they need for both soul and body. And yet, he says, with persecutions. Oh, the greatest of persecutions for that true church of God, that is not outward, but that is inward. They are the temptations of that Prince of Darkness. Lead us not into temptations. Oh, not so much that the temptation would be taken away, although this also, but that I would not fall in that temptation, that I would not be led into that sin, that I may be delivered from the evil. Because it is the Lord's will that in general the temptations are remaining. The Apostle Paul says, Lord, wilt thou take them away from me? Wilt thou remove it from me, that thorn in my flesh? But it was not the Lord's will, and in general it is not the Lord's will. But the Lord gives them to cry to him, and that he may give them help under those temptations. And therefore, prayer, that is a great weapon in that warfare of faith. Sometimes the Lord is making a way
that thy people may be delivered completely out of the way of temptation. When he was in the garden, then the Lord Jesus, he said to the enemy, and let these go their way. Thus he did, children, just like when there was a great crowd of people. And the Lord Jesus, he says, now you must make a path. You must make a pathway here, because here are all my disciples, and they all need a way to go out. No one may touch them. And so the disciples, they are delivered from the evil. But there was one who didn't go. There was one who didn't leave. And who was that? That was Peter. Peter insisted on following the Lord Jesus. It is congregation not consistent for us to pray, lead us not into temptation when we place ourselves in the way of temptation. Young people, next time that you will seat yourself in the theater, then first go on your knees and ask the Lord, lead me not into temptation. See if you can do it. Can you do it? Those entertainments of our world are full of temptations. We see it, unfortunately. Every time we have to leave here and go to another congregation on that airplane, we see how that Satan, he is working. Those films, that entertainment that everyone has their eyes glued to in this world, it is unbelievable. Young and old, but they are so full of temptations. Oh, we hope that you would never be able to pray to the Lord, lead me into temptation, and then to place yourself in such a way. Do you intend, young people, to play with fire in dating? Or will you not go on your knees and ask the Lord, Lord, lead us not into temptation? Will you go and sit at the bar? And when you are sitting there, voluntarily, will you ask the Lord, Lord, lead me not into temptation? Do you feel something? It is inconsistent, is it not? You can't. When you are upright, when you are honest, then you cannot do such a thing, parents. We cannot take that internet into our home, place ourselves before it, place our children before it, and then honestly go on our knees and say, Lord, lead us not into temptation. People of the Lord, Peter, he did not belong in the palace of the high priest. No, the Lord Jesus had warned him. That will be a temptation, Peter. That will be a temptation for your weak flesh. He did not think he was so weak. He did not believe the Lord Jesus. He thought he was strong. He thought he could endure it. It was his spiritual pride, but pride cometh before a fall. Thus the Lord also is instructing his church, sometimes by hard experience, that they are so weak in themselves that they cannot stand for one moment. Paul, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We live in a time, young people, that there are so many interesting things in this world. Not all unlawful. Not all unlawful. No, we cannot say that. But not all profitable either. What is now the temptation of the devil? We have spoken a little in this morning. What is our desire? Is it now to read God's word? Is it now to pray? Is it now to meditate on spiritual things? It is not. And what does Satan do? He comes all from the other side. All that lives in our hearts, all that is interesting in this world, even though it is not unlawful, to fill our whole life with all of these things, so that there is never a moment that we are being placed to sit all by ourselves with nothing else, and we have to face ourselves and God. Lead us not into temptation. And yet, it is possible that we must be in a place where temptation is. How different that is. Because then we may pray in uprightness. Then we may pray in honesty. Lead us not into temptation. Oh, Joseph was placed in a way of temptation which he did not desire. But it was that which he was not able to avoid. And the Lord, he gave Joseph strength, a very special strength against a very strong temptation. Thus the Lord is able to give restraining grace. The Lord is able to give restraining power that we do not fall into temptation. Oh, if we think of you young people, when in this week you will go to the universities, to the colleges in this world, all the temptations are so, so very many, and they are so very, very strong. Do you think you are strong? Do you think you are able to withstand those temptations? You are not. No. Let it be that you see it in the providence of the Lord that this Sabbath day before you are to enter again, and that this supplication is placed before you, that every day when you will arise in the morning and when you will go forward to your labors and to your studies and to receive all that which Satan is bringing in these places, which is so one with our heart. Oh, that this cry may go up from your heart. Oh, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Oh, Lord, keep me and deliver me from evil. What a temptation. Daniel and his three friends. But they walked in uprightness. And oh, how the Lord, he gave them strength. Listen. The Lord says to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. Oh, I will keep thee. That is, either to deliver them completely out of the temptation or to keep them from falling. Sometimes the Lord sets limits. Sometimes the Lord sets bounds. Or sometimes he says to Satan, you may go so far, but you may go no further. Young people, will you not ask the Lord, keep him away? Oh, put him on a chain because of my evil heart that is so one with the world and is so one with that prince of darkness. Other times the Lord rebukes him, as we can read that he has rebuked Satan concerning Joshua the high priest. But all this, the Lord is also giving the means and using the means that he may keep that people from falling. What does David say? Oh Lord, set a watch. Set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart. He knew himself. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes. Let us sing 189, 1, 2, and 4. Make haste, O God, to save, to help me, Lord, make haste. Ashamed, confounded shall they be who would my life lay waste. 1, 2, and 4 of 189. lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How long, congregation, will that church of God need this help? How long does that take before the church of God, they become advanced in that life? How long does that take before that church of God, they become a strong Christian? Before that they have conquered the enemy, before that they have passed this helpless stage of life. How long? Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. How long? Till they have passed this stage of helplessness? Not in all this life. Not in all this life is the victory of the church militant complete. There is no moving on from the warfare. The devil remains busy. The world continues to entice, and the flesh that remains corrupt. It is, and it remains, a church militant to the last breath in this world. So we see it in the prayer that the Lord Jesus teaches his disciples. And we see it in the instruction of our fathers in the Heidelberg Catechism. The last petition that the Lord Jesus is now teaching his disciples to pray, that is, for help in the warfare. And that is now how our catechism ends. The last Lord's Day. How? Lord, help us now to convert the world. Thou hast given it to us, and we have reached our height, and now we have to convert the rest of the world. Is that the way it ends? It is not the way it ends. How does it end? Preserve us and strengthen us that we will not be overcome in this spiritual warfare. That is how it ends. That is not our word. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught his church. And is that now not a comfort for those of God's true people who find themselves so weak in themselves that they are not able to stand for one moment? Oh, the wisdom of the Lord to make his dear Son to be precious and necessary in the life of his people. Not only for justification, but also for sanctification. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me
from the body of this death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other way. Till at last we obtain the complete victory. Oh, it is then that warfare that is going to be completely over. What a difference. What a difference between this life and what that life is going to be for the true church of God. Congregation, the military, we read it in the newspapers. The military, they come home again. And the military, they have to get used again to the civil life because they have been so long in that warfare. Now, how is it going to be for that true church of God? When that warfare is over, and when nothing will defile, that can defile, is going there to enter in. Because the flesh, it is going in the grave. And the world is not going in. And Satan, he is going to be forever and forever chained up. And then the church is going to receive her rest. An eternal rest from the warfare. Oh, Christ, he has entered in there already. And you know what he says? He says, Father, I will that they also which thou hast given me may be with me where I am. Where he has overcome the prince of darkness and where he has broken his power. And there the church may experience to all eternity that there is no more enemy. Congregation, are you a member of the church militant? That is soon going to become the church triumphant. It does not go without trial. It does not go without struggle. It does not go without fighting. Young people, there is a Christianity. They are rejoicing. They are already rejoicing. What can we say to you? Be as the Bereans and search in the Holy Word of God and ask yourself, is that true? Is that true? That is not a church militant. That is a church triumphant. In eternity, there the church will triumph. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has received the victory. But that does not mean that for that people that are still here upon the earth, there is still not a bitter engagement with that triple-headed enemy. We've read it together. The apostle, he says, take on the whole armor of God. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Or when we do not know the warfare of the church militant. We are never going to know the rejoicing of the church triumphant. Sin your enemy? Is the world your enemy? Is your own flesh your enemy? If they are not our enemies, they're our friends. It's one or it's the other. And if that sin has never become to us a burden, if that sin has never become to us a grief, then what is it? It's a delight. We all have an old man, but do we also have a new man? Is there a warfare? That is now our question. Herein lies the struggle between an old man and a new man. And that struggle for that church of God, despite all their fears, is going to end in a complete victory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest our hearts, each one of us, and all that they contain, whether that is true, and that sin, and that the world, that Satan, that our own flesh, that is our enemy. And if it has never been so, oh, we beseech thee to make it so. Convert us, Lord. Grant us new hearts. And make us soldiers in that church militant, in that army that is so weak that it cannot stand a moment, but that needs thy dear Son for justification, for sanctification, for complete redemption. Wilt thou bring us safely to our homes? Oh, give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Give us meditation upon thy holy word and an interest to search thy holy scriptures and thy indispensable blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. 31, 2, 3, and 7. With steadfast courage I design no wrong to speak or do. Thy path of life I choose for mine, and walk with purpose true. For help, O God, I cry to thee, assured that thou wilt answer me. 2, 3, and 7 of Psalter 31.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.